It's hard to describe Donna Summer's impact. From 1976 to 1982, she had more top 10 hits than any other act. She was one of the best-selling artists of all time, arguably the most famous female artist in her time. She was born LaDonna Gaines in Boston. Producer Giorgio Moroder helped harness her incredible songwriting and producing talent. In this scene from a new documentary, she directs her sisters, her backup singers.
Watching Daddy Dance.
Okay, I want to try it again. You know, the first one was beautiful. The ones after that got a little bit sloppy.
Yeah.
So do Watching Daddy.
Watching Daddy Dance.
In the studio and at home, she was unvarnished and hardworking. On stage, she was the sultry queen of disco and an icon in the gay dance clubs that everyone flocked to.
Bad girl. Talking about bad girls, yeah.
Then, always spiritual, Donna Summer became a born-again Christian and in the 80s stunned fans, singing a line about marriage not being between two men. The fallout was devastating. But her music never faded. The new documentary tells the whole Donna Summer story, her loving family, a sexually abusive pastor. There were violent relationships and finally a loving marriage to Bruce Sudano of the group Brooklyn Dreams. She was a mom to Mimi, Brooklyn, and Amanda, devastated when Mimi was also molested by a family friend. And much of Donna Summer's life, right up to the days just before her death from cancer at just 63 on May 17th, 2012, was caught on the film camera she carried everywhere. This Saturday, HBO premieres the film Love to Love You, Donna Summer, from Oscar-winning director Roger Ross Williams and Donna's daughter, actress Brooklyn Sudano. We went to a screening at the Independent Film Festival Boston at the Somerville Theater, and it was clear from swooning fans like this gay man from Boston, the bond was unbroken.
I think of Donna Summer every day, every day, every day. I Feel Love is my ringtone. I hear her in the supermarket, I hear her everywhere. Most people in the gay community forgave her, and I tell people now that before Lady Gaga, before Madonna, there was Donna Summer.
After the screening, I sat down with Brooklyn, who has her mom's cascading hair and beauty. I'd heard her singing during the film and wondered if she had some of the voice as well.
Bad girl.
I mean, she got it.
Talking about the sad girl. Yeah.
Bruce and Donna's girl.
Yes.
Look, why did you do this?
Part of it was becoming a mother myself a few years after my mom had passed. I also, after her passing, had so many people come up to me. I just realized there was so much to her life.
Well, and you'd lived with it, and with your dad, Bruce Sudano. I was a huge fan of Brooklyn Dreams. Brooklyn. and so there must have been music all the time and stories all the time. It's not as if you didn't know, but you couldn't have known.
You know, there was a lot of unearthing the details. You have to rewrite your own history to yourself. I have so much more grace for her understanding, particularly like 1975 to 1980, 81, right before I was born, just the immense pressure and the creative output. It really is mind-boggling to me.
It is. I mean, when you started to really see how huge she was, you couldn't turn on a radio without hearing Donna Summer. It was where you went out at night. It was...
I mean, that still happens. I was getting on the airplane and Hot Stuff started as I was, you know, boarding the airplane.
Looking for some hot stuff, baby, this evening. I need some hot stuff, baby, tonight.
And I sat with it and I go, wow. When we were doing the sound mix, there was a young gentleman just kind of like interning for the day. And at one point I saw his mouth go, and he goes, I mean, she did everything. Like, Beyonce stole so much from her. Her family, her faith, she leaned on. And so for me, that's what I go to. It's an example of how to do this.
You and I spoke about this. I knew your mom. I
had a chance to interview her. As I was watching the movie on a version that I had, I was thinking, oh, I'd give anything to know where is that? And then you hear that little voice say, when did you think to bring your family into the group? And that was me.
How did you incorporate your family into your act?
Well, it was easy. They sing, and I had been taking three other girls on tour with me, and I decided, why should I take someone else's family all over the world with me?
How important is it to have someone like close to?
I think it's important for everyone to have someone, but especially in my position, it's always the threat of whether someone loves you for you or whether they love you because of the advantage.
Her makeup is off.
She was keeping it real.
She was kicked back. She was so real. And also how tired she was then.
Yes.
This was in the 70s. So.
Yes. There's one photo in there that always strikes me, and it's Mimi's talking about how exhausted she is, and then there's this image of her, and you just, it is so deep.
When they were
deep.
In the beds.
Yes,
the beds,
and
yeah.
It's just so deep because you see it, the pace, the expectation, and carrying that persona. That was one part of who she was. She was very body making off con jokes, you know, and so to kind of have to be like this thing was not always
she was playing
easy.
A part.
Yeah,
she was playing
yeah.
a part.
She understood that's what it took.
What was it like for you to see Mom with what had to have been the first top 10 simulated orgasm? It was astonishing.
Do it to me again and again. You put me in such an awful spin, in a spin.
We went to a Christian school, right?
So, I'd like to see that.
We were really sheltered from a lot of that. She would sing a song, take you to church, take you to the dance club. You know, one of the things that was really important was to have a film that was reflective of that.
Well, and it also reflected all the pain. Being molested by the pastor, seeing that echoed in Mimi, in her daughter.
Yes. You know, all of that was very important, and there was a lot of discussions around that because I think
about how you talked about
how we talked about that, because trauma is real. And you know, Mimi's conversation with me about that was unexpected. We really felt like it was necessary because it was part of my journey and our family's healing. Part of the reason she was able to connect with people the way that she was through her music was because she saw people. She saw, you know, that inner thing, that pain, was able to connect, even if it was a dance song. People would cry on the, you know, I had so many people like, I was dancing to Try Me, Try Me, Try Me, and I just broke down in tears because they felt seen. Thank you.
Again, as someone who was dancing, this was post-Watergate, post-Vietnam was still a huge vein of pain. You needed to dance. It was the beginning of the women's movement, the beginning of the gay rights movement.
She was everybody's, like, best stage mom. She still met people where they were, and she saw them.
Which is why so many felt betrayed when, at a concert in the 80s, Donna sang what she appeared to think was a playful line about marriage not being between an Adam and a Steve. You can see the confused hurt on faces in the crowd. Then she was accused of saying terribly homophobic things, which she adamantly denied. In the mid-90s, she sued and held an emotional press conference. It was tough to watch.
That situation really marked her and marked her relationship with the gay community in a way that I think she really struggled and grappled with. I think it was something that she knew was always going to be maybe an asterisk to her legacy. When you really understand fundamentally who my mother was, anything that would make people think that she did not love them was so deeply hurt, like so deeply just like, oh, how could this be? Because it was not how she was actually living her life. The gay community was always so very much a part of our lives and at shows and fans, always. But I, you know, wanted to acknowledge that that was hurtful. And she understood that that was hurtful. It was not her intention.
She left way too soon.
I have to be honest, she did. However, I am given peace by the fact that I feel that she did what she was here to do. And I think when you see at the end of the film, when she, it's actually at her birthday roast, and she goes, I was here to give you something. and you were here to give me something, and I'm very grateful for that. She did. She gave the world something. And so I have a lot of peace about that.
Yeah, you're right. And what happens to you when you're going about your business and you get on a plane or something and you hear Hot Stuff? Or you?
I just go, hi, Mom. Aw. I do. I go, hi, Mom. And I just go, I am where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. Brooklyn, Sidana.